If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio!
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a band that is new to me. One of the things I like to do every few days is just look on Bandcamp and search for Winnipeg or Manitoba. And every time I find any kind of band that has any connection locally, I go and find them on social media and follow them. And a lot of the time I intend to, but I don't always follow up to see what these bands actually sound like. It's usually just like, oh, I'm going to make a note of this. I'll follow it on Instagram or whatever. So later on, I can come by and check out what it's all about and see if it's something that I'm interested in. And in your case, the case of the guests on this episode, I definitely didn't follow up and see what it was all about. I found the band, hit follow, and then forgot about it. And then weeks or months later, a post popped up, and it was about the new album you just released. And so, not really knowing much about who you were at all, I listened to the album on Bandcamp, and I really dug it. It was not what I expected. I don't know what I expected because I hadn't really done a lot of research into you, but it was really cool, and I'm glad we can make this happen because I'm very curious about sort of where you come from as a band and what the project's all about. So I think the best way to start this off is if the three of you want to introduce yourselves and give a bit of background about what you do and who plays what in the band, so people can put a name to the voice.
Sure, yeah, I'll start. My name's Eric Roberts, and I play bass in the band.
My name is Julian Butel, and I play the Fender Rhodes.
I'm Justin. I play the drums.
Right on. And so yeah. I'm going to start off with the worst question that everyone hates answering, and that is, how do you define what you do? What kind of music do you play? I mean, I have ideas based on listening to it, but I'm curious, you know, if you had to give a Cole's Notes version of what kind of music you play to someone who, hey, I heard you're in a band. Do you have a way to sort of pigeonhole that, or is it difficult?
You should take this, Justin.
Yeah. Oh, geez. I don't know. I mean, it's instrumental. I'd say it's, you know, kind of beat music.
Yeah.
A lot of it is very, of course, rooted in, you know, sort of hip hop style grooves. You know, we're not really a hip hop group, but, you know, we all love that kind of music and love instrumental music and electronic music. So there's a lot of that kind of, those styles and those ideas coming through. And I mean, we've all been playing together for a long, long time as well. So
okay.
there's a lot of, we're all very comfortable making like creative choices together and things like that too. Right. So I think,
yeah, long can be kind of like a relative term. We've been playing together for 15 years or so.
That's a really long time. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it, even though we're still pretty young.
Well, what is the origin of this then? How did this long-term project, I guess, if you want to call it, get started?
Well, I think it was, I moved back to Winnipeg about a year ago.
Okay.
And it was, I just wanted to play music with these guys again, so we just started jamming. I had moved into a house that had a detached studio space, so we were able to get together like once a week. That's kind of how it started.
Yeah, even like working backwards, like this is kind of the latest iteration of us, the three of us playing together. Like the band Compost is, yeah, the 2024 version of this trio. But even prior to Eric moving back to Winnipeg, we've just kind of gotten together casually to improvise this very similar kind of music for years now, just like in very private, you know, personal settings. And even before that, we've played in different bands together too. And a variety of like songwriting versus improvisational and instrumental music. So I feel like all of that has been kind of distilled and manifesting in whatever this new tape is and whatever we're up to now.
Cool. And so, I mean, how much of what you do is improvised at this point? Because I can see how, you know, listening to the recordings, it could go either way on a lot of the tracks. It could be something that's very written or something that's, you know, completely improvised. So what kind of, what's the ratio, I guess, of written to improvised on those songs?
They all start improvised and then we revisit things and refine from there.
Okay.
So none of us come to a rehearsal or like a writing session or something with ideas. We just come up with them on the spot. And then if something clicks, we'll come back to it and kind of develop it from there.
Okay.
So it's hard to put like a precise, you know, and then from there, like the more we play, you know, it kind of ebbs and flows. Like sometimes things start to feel stale and then we start to find, oh, there's new ways we can explore this idea. And it kind of gets back into that improvisational realm.
Okay. But
that's it, kind of like ping pongs back and forth. Starts very improvised, see how much we can develop it. And then from there, kind of improvise some more. And who knows?
Well, maybe
we're still sitting in the middle of the process for a lot of these things. So
maybe a better way to approach that question is then at what point do you know when something is, I mean, if you're improvising all this stuff, you're not coming to rehearsals with anything planned out. At what point do you know that something works? Like when does something become a song? Like, is there sort of something that all the three of you agree upon that sort of moves a piece of music forward into a finished product, or how do you decide that?
That's a tricky question. I feel like for me, my personal feeling, it's more of a feeling than a list of criteria.
Sure.
I feel like we generally just hit record and like play for an hour. And then at the end of a jam, we'll just listen back and we'll kind of pick out moments that we liked. And then anything that feels like, oh yeah, that could be a thing. Anything right. That like feels like there's like a little nugget of something in there, a little kernel that like if we spent an extra 20 minutes scratching it to see what else might come of it, then might have some legs. But if we are listening back and like, I don't know if like this feels a little stale or not super inspiring to me, then we might discard it. But that's just my take.
Yeah. No, I think that's pretty right on the money. You know, I think the MO kind of from the onset of this was that we just wanted to make music that we all liked and felt good to us. Right. And that has kind of consistently been, you know, if any criteria for what we kind of keep or strike, you know what I mean? So
yeah, that makes sense.
We work really quickly. We try not to spend too much time on any particular idea. Like really like set like deliberate limits to like, okay, we're going to improvise for 2 minutes.
Okay.
And then stop. And then we'll find another idea and improvise within that for 2 minutes and then stop. And then come back to it the next week and pick our favorite ones and develop those. And then maybe we'll play it once or twice more. But then after, say, like 3 months of collecting ideas, we'll listen back to everything in like in a democratic process,
okay. Kind
of like rank every single thing that we've made. And then it's like a ranked choice voting system where we like each kind of check in with our own gut, like how much do we like each of these ideas? And give it a number, and then like collectively by combining those rankings, we are able to find like what is our collective favorite material that we've come up with.
That makes sense.
That's how we move forward.
Is, you know, you mentioned earlier that this is kind of could be seen as beat music you're making. I mean, hip hop is clearly a big influence on what you're doing, and especially to my ears anyway, it sounds like that very kind of jazzy style of 90s hip hop, which I love too. I mean, that's definitely something that works really well with live instruments, that kind of sound.
grows by itself. You don't have to think how to grow it. Your heart beats by itself. You don't have to make up your mind how to beat it. That's what they mean by nature. The poem says, sitting quietly, doing nothing, spring comes and grass grows of itself. Your hair grows by itself. You don't have to think how to grow it. Your heart beats by itself. You don't have to make up your mind how to beat it. That's what they mean by nature. The poem says, sitting quietly, doing nothing, spring comes and grass grows of itself. Spring comes and grass grows of itself.
When it comes to writing pieces of music, I mean, I know you just explained sort of the process of how you put those together, but a lot of that stuff that I'm assuming you're drawing from is very much sort of one or two riffs repeated, right? And so how do you take something like that and then stretch it out to be a piece of music that stands on its own without having vocals on top, without having sort of even a lead instrument at times? Because a lot of your stuff is very rhythmic. What is sort of the, how do you move that forward without having that lead thing on top sort of driving it?
Two things, like at times we just don't really feel like it needs to be moved forward. Like I think there's lots of room for music that doesn't go somewhere that sure. Like, can just stay in one place, like especially for listening to when you're doing other activities or something like that. And it's not like your primary focus.
Yeah.
To be listening to music. But then also, like, we're such like melodic driven people that often, like, you just start finding like there's places that you want to go with something within like the repetition.
Okay.
You know, like things can be very repetitive, but then eventually just like feel compelled to like explore beyond that repetition.
Yeah, I feel like something that's been fun to play with lately is just this idea of patience and like kind of minimalism, and how far can you stretch an idea without creating a change.
Okay.
Kind of been this fun little exercise for us in like meditation and stuff like that. But also I feel like the longer you keep an idea going, the less drastic your changes have to be to make an impact. So to keep a song going, if you've been repeating an idea for a while, just a simple change, like from a little change in the keyboard pattern, might feel like huge because you've just been listening to like something very similar for the past 45 seconds. So therefore, just like making tiny little notches and increments in what we're doing can take like something that doesn't seem like it's going to go a lot, go bit far places. We'll just like make a bunch of little changes and it'll feel like a whole piece, just that kind of thing.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense as well. Yeah. Do you get kind of locked into these grooves? Like can you, when you're rehearsing, when you're improvising, can these songs stretch out considerably longer than they are in the finished product? Like, can you sit there for 15 minutes on a groove or do you, is there sort of a natural endpoint when you're improvising?
Yeah. I mean, I think we do that a lot more on the onset of the ideas, right?
To
really solidify our parts and what we want to kind of say in them. You know what I mean? I think.
And see what else might be kind of just like hiding around the corner or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then, yeah, I don't know. I think we all kind of have different thresholds for like patience and things like that. And like, but like always trying to check in like visually, like, or just stay like in touch with one another when we're playing to see like, how are you feeling about this? Like, do you want to move on? Even though it can be hard to talk when you're playing music,
sure.
Like, just trying to feel it out. And yeah, I can't do things for 15 minutes. That's too long for me personally.
I guess some of that comes with just having played together for so long too, right? You have that kind of just automatic understanding and knowledge of how everyone else is sort of feeling about the song.
Sure. Yeah. But we're always still finding like ways we can improve that too. You find like there's some rub every once in a while where it's like you really want to get someone's attention, but it's like hard or something like that. Yeah.
Well, how does this, a couple questions that are related here. First of all, how does this work live? As far as, you know, just doing that, just determining, you know, when a piece is going to end or where to go with it. And then I guess answer that one first. And then I have a kind of a brother to that question, but, yeah, like what is the process live? Is it the same as when you're rehearsing where you just kind of launch into it and then whatever develops, or is it much more structured, in that kind of setting?
I would say it'll probably be more structured. We haven't played a live show though.
Oh, okay. So well, there really you go. Know. Yeah. Okay. So this is all speculative at this point then. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah.
But we have been experimenting. We have been experimenting with like the idea of a structured kind of set list versus just kind of meandering our way through our tunes and like figuring out which process feels, I guess, the more natural or like okay. is able to like serve better for what we're trying to do. So yeah, feels like it could go either way right now, or maybe it'll be a combination of both. Who's to say?
Yeah, it's kind of nice when you can transition between tunes quickly because everyone is on the same page and you know like to have little medleys, but then also have room for us to, you know, just like end something and be like, where do you want to go next, you know, and that kind of thing.
We'll be right back. is, I mean, the fact you haven't played a live show yet kind of changes where I was going to go with this, but where do you sort of, you know, I'm assuming you're hoping to play live shows in the future. Where do you see this fitting in as far as the local music scene goes, in terms of like where you would fit genre-wise? Because, I mean, you know, I can see this working with at a hip-hop show. I can see it working at a jazz show. I can see it working in a lot of different contexts. Do you have like an idea of kind of where you're aiming to be within the local music scene?
Maybe. I don't know. Not quite yet. I don't know.
There are things on the horizon that we, you know, like, I think we'll be playing some festivals this summer. And I feel like venues where there's just like a broad range of genre and where things, maybe where the focus is more so just on art making and less about genre or something like that, I can see us fitting in there.
Yeah.
When there's no shortage of festivals either.
Yeah, or just as you kind of mentioned, a bunch of different venues or settings, like I think just finding or being able to gently lean one way or another to kind of find a different environments to play in. I think that's something we're still kind of feeling out as like, oh, well, one setting lend itself to more kind of like beat type of music. And other settings might lend itself more to just like, yeah, really leaning into that like minimalism and like patience and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of the discovery and the fun, at least for me right now, is exploring those little niches.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think there's a lot of sort of unusual spaces too in the city where there's the kind of room to experiment and do stuff like that. And it's not necessarily, oh, this is a hip hop show or whatever, and you're expected to do just sort of what it says in the bill, you know. But you have this tape out, and I'm always happy to see people releasing tapes because I'm old and set in my ways, and I haven't understood streaming yet, and I don't plan to. And so whenever I see someone making physical media, I'm always pumped because, you know, that's how I listen to music. But what was the decision making behind putting out a tape before playing live shows? Because that's almost backwards from how a lot of people do it. They'll be, you know, most people I interview, actually, even if it's a new band, they will have played, you know, a dozen shows and then they get to recording. So was the recording side of things always the main priority for you guys?
Yeah, well, we started recording from like day one. Like that's just a part of our process, is like recording everything that we do and then collecting it and like sifting through it. So like we have like tons of recordings, and it's really fun for us to like put those together into a compilation and to release it. And like we also like tapes, and like it's fun to like have a physical thing. And
yeah
I think this was also sort of a bit of an experiment in engineering and how we could get kind of the sounds that we were going for. And yeah, again, I think, you know, we all kind of really like the mixtape format. We've done that with other groups. You know, we like to make tapes, you know, our own mixtapes, that kind of stuff. So
yeah
it was just kind of the natural thing to do, I think.
Yeah, that's cool.
And we've also played a lot of shows with other bands and like aren't chomping at the bit to like, you know, play more shows. Like, so it's a way for us to get our music out there and build a fan base without necessarily having to like lug a Fender Rhodes to the Handsome Daughter or something like
that's
that.
That's a good just point, I guess. Like,
you know, so, but you know, we will be playing shows soon. It's just like waiting for the right kind of shows to come along and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So that also makes complete sense. I didn't even think about the logistics of dragging that around. But yeah, that's good. That's a challenge. It's a lot more complicated than just like someone with an acoustic guitar or whatever, for sure. I assume based on what you were just saying too, that you must have hours and hours and hours of recorded stuff just kind of that you haven't used so far for this release. Is that music that you intend to go back to and chop up in different parts of and use for future releases? Or now that you've sort of made this track list, you've made this mix pieces, is that over now? Or do you see yourselves going back like to the archives there and reviving older ideas or ideas that you didn't use on this tape?
Some of it. You know, we've kind of mined a little bit for one of these newer projects that are coming up that we've been kind of working on and writing and arranging. So there's a bit of that, but a lot of the older recordings we have are just sort of different versions of, you know, pieces that ended up on the tape.
Okay.
Even on the tape itself, there's I think two tracks that have sort of two different reworkings of the same tune, you know. So
yeah, and yeah. Like we had a session last summer where we recorded like a bunch of material that we have yet to go through, really.
Okay.
So that'll probably be another release at some point. And now, yeah, like Justin was saying, we're kind of in the middle of like a more like deliberate composition project, kind of exploring what that would be like to try to through compose like 45 minutes or something like that.
Oh, cool.
And kind of like the phases of compost are starting to form, and yeah, we've kind of.
Yeah, kind of back to your question about like recording versus playing a show first. Yeah, I feel like a lot of our process has just been governed by like, hey, what do we feel like doing? And it just so happened that like our recording setup and the way that we generate music through improvisation and like not staying on anything too long and always moving forward equals a lot of recorded content and just like having a body of work, but like not necessarily having like tunes ready for a show. So just like with the way our interests aligned and like the material got together, it's just kind of what we had available first. And that's kind of what we were interested in too. But now we're kind of at a point now where we can start thinking about, well, what would this look like in a live setting and being able to move on to that stage.
How much of the, I guess maybe a better way to ask what I was about to ask you is with the songs that are on the tape. I mean, you mentioned a few minutes ago about you know, working on something that's more of a structured, written, composed piece of music. Is there, when you put this tape together, was there planning as far as the order of the tracks and sort of were you wanting the record to flow, you know? I know we're in an era where people aren't listening to music for the most part from start to finish, and that kind of throws a wrench into the whole idea of making something that's meant to be listened to from point A to point B. But was that a consideration for this tape, or is that more something that you're working on going forward?
Yes.
Yeah. Like once we had gone through the material and found the songs, we kind of like roughed in like where we thought some of them would fit best.
Okay.
And then the gaps filled in really quickly. And then I just kind of shifted things around and like found transitions, and it worked out like very organically and like beautifully, I think. Like I am kind of bummed that we weren't able to put everything on Spotify like in the order that it is, because we were using some samples.
Oh yeah.
That we didn't clear because it's too expensive. So like you can only really listen to the whole thing on Bandcamp or SoundCloud or on the cassette, mm-hmm. and which like limits I think the number of people that will hear like the full thing. But yeah, it's like it worked out great that it flows so well, but it was very organic and more so just like coincidental that like, oh wow, that works. Like you can just do like a hard cut. Like there's so many hard cuts in this, you know, sequence.
Yeah.
And I love a good hard cut. Like, and it's like, it's so satisfying.
Yeah.
Is there a way to prepare for the fact that most people are probably not going to hear it in the way you intended? I mean, this is something that not just for a band like you, but for everyone that's making music, you know that for the most part, people are going to be listening to, you know, if they listen at all, to a snippet of one track and then maybe another one randomly from the other end of the record. Like, does that change the way you compose or present or any aspect of the songs? Or are you fine with the people who are going to take the time to listen from point A to point B? They're going to get it and everyone else will just get it in pieces. Are you cool with that? Or, I mean, I know you can't do much about it.
I don't know. I mean, the hope is that it would maybe incentivize them supporting us directly, right? Going to more of the source and getting the cassette or, you know, getting the like Bandcamp digital download or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And being able to have that full sort of listening experience, right?
Yeah. There's not much you can do about it. And, you know, I feel like if people are kind of just like picking and choosing or whatever, like they probably have a fairly like fragmented relationship with music already. So sure. It's like, how are we going to change that?
Yeah. And the way that the tracks are online or especially at Spotify, like it's pretty clear that there is like this track has an intro or like has a segment from the previous track that you're missing out on. And like maybe the ending is the beginning of the next track that you're also maybe missing out on. So again, to Justin's point of like, maybe that'll incentivize seeking out the whole, maybe, but I don't know if we necessarily factored that into, or like, you know, just wanted to make a cool tape, I guess.
Well, you can't count on it, right? Because you have no idea how people are going to, once it's released, it's out of your hands and is up to whoever is listening to on whatever platform. Yeah. So for people who are hearing about you for the first time on the show and want to hear more, I know we kind of just went over this, but what's the best way to find your music? Obviously, like you said, you'd rather they listen to sort of the whole thing the way it is laid out and meant to be listened to. But where would you prefer someone go and check it out? I mean, is Bandcamp the preferred destination?
Yeah, I mean, well, if you're in Winnipeg, like we have tapes at Into the Music and Riley Gray, and I think Justin's going to take some to Chip's Vintage tomorrow. That's the plan.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so go buy a tape. But yeah, Bandcamp would be number one. It's like Compost WPG at Bandcamp or .bandcamp.com.
Cool. And
there's lots of other composts out there.
I noticed that actually. Yeah. When I was, after I listened to it, I forgot to like make a note of what the actual Bandcamp, link was. So I just typed in Compost and there was a ton of shit that came up. So yeah, it's, I'll link to it in the show notes so people can actually find it if they're listening to this. And then the good thing about this being a podcast is someone could hear it, you know, the day it comes out, or they could hear it a year from now. And by then, you know, who knows what's going on. You might have more music out, playing a bunch of shows, whatever. What's the best way to sort of keep up with what's happening with the band, you know, to find out about those kind of things happening?
Right now, our Instagram is probably the best place to go. You can check us out at Compost_band.
Yeah.
Is that
we
the
also
only?
Have a TikTok.
Oh, you have a TikTok. Okay, you're really in the future.
We always forget to post there though because we don't use it as much.
So the Bandcamp and Instagram are the main, or by the tape.